This is C. Michael Hall, writer and creator of Ape Entertainment's El Dorado, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Uncharted waters, the sailors of old used dragons to mark on the map. Drawn to these waters, the map of my life, the only place where there's no path. I need a world of blank pages to sail upon in the unexplored space between the dust and the dawn. I'll ride on those dragons and see what's beyond. Legends are born in this way. Legends are born because legends are born in blank spots on the map where the paper is worn thin by dragons, uncertainties, promises made. Legends are born in this way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob,
Jonathan,
and Logan.
Tonight, we are visiting with Mikey Mason. He's the artist of the recent album, Tinta Cow. He's kind of like a pop culturalist musician or
comedian.
Yeah. So, Mikey, thanks for coming on to the show with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we met Mikey at AFW in Wichita, so give a shout-out to them and their program that they have in Wichita each year. So we had a blast. We saw Mikey do a couple of performances and visited with him there, and we had fun with him, so we wanted to try to get him on the show. So thank you for doing this.
Oh, no, I listened to the Barbarian Jetpack episode, and I was very flattered. Thank you so much.
Well, you're one, I think this is why I said it's hard for me to explain what you are, because you're not the ones that make fun of stuff.
No.
Parody.
Parody, thank you. You're not truly parody, you're more of a pop culturalist, and you take elements and just put them all together and just have fun. And
yeah.
You don't slam people or things that much, you just have fun with
except
it.
Except for Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Weird Al does parody, and I do some parodies. It's just that my general stance is they feel easier to me than writing a song, and I would rather write a song. I'd rather parody a style or a genre than a specific song.
Okay. And the one we came in on was actually Legends, and this is one to your ode to video games, I'm assuming, and some of the medieval type stuff, and...
Yes, yeah, this was it's a song when I introduced that in concert, because it's more of a serious song. I introduced it by saying it was kind of one that I wrote in reverse time travel. I wrote it in, I think, 2002, 2003, okay. And at a transitional point in my life, and it meant something very specific to me then, and I didn't think it would ever make it into my regular repertoire. And then years later, my oldest son, he's 18, Ben, went in the Navy, and so all of a sudden there all these sailor references make sense. It just took 13 years for it to make sense.
Cool. That's kind of neat though that it came around for you and got a call back.
Yeah. So it's one of my older songs, but it's also one that I absolutely love, and that song made because that is the quote serious song on the album, Tinta Cow.
Yeah, it's hard to be too serious with a title like Tinta Cow.
Right, right.
And you are a comedian by trade as well.
That's my day job. I don't, how much am I allowed to curse here?
Oh, we have an explicit tag, so.
All right, my day job is telling dick jokes to middle America. That's what I do, and my dream job is to tell slightly more intellectual dick jokes to geeks. So, there we go.
And it all goes in together. Yes. No. Did you have something earlier, Jonathan? You were kind of start to say something. I walked over you.
Yeah. You said something earlier that confused me a little bit. What's the difference between what's it called again?
Oh, a parody?
A parody and you writing like a normal song.
Okay, so a parody would be I Weird Al did Gangsta's Paradise, only he made it Amish Paradise, right? Mm-hmm. So Weird Al took Coolio's song Gangsta's Paradise and rewrote the words, and pretty much that's what a parody is. You take a song and you rewrite the words. Now, Weird Al could have written a rap song that wasn't Gangsta's Paradise, but sounded kind of the same. If he'd have written one in the same style, he would have been parodying Coolio's style. But as it was, he parodied Coolio's song. And I prefer style or genre parodies. Like Weird Al's Dare to Be Stupid was a style parody of Devo. And Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo said that that is the best Devo song that they never wrote. but it's not based on any specific Devo song. He just wrote it to sound like Devo, you know? Just not... He didn't take Whip It and make Dare to Be Stupid out of it. He was a fan of the band, is a fan of the band, and wrote a Devo-sounding song. And I'm more of a fan of doing parodies than that. Now, I do regular parodies, but I'm more of a fan of doing style parodies. For example, on Dodecahedron, there's a song called Roll the Dice, which is very specifically geared to sound like AC/DC, but it's not any specific AC/DC song. It just sounds like it's like three chords, and the guys sound like this, and you know, and so I made the guitar tone sound kind of AC/DC-ish. So it wasn't any specific AC/DC parody, but it was kind of like throwing the whole style and saying, I want to write an AC/DC song, but make it about geek stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things you do with pretty much most of your songs is around the world of geekdom. And I'm not putting that as a let put down. That is actually, we have fun with this. Yeah. And you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
How many conventions a year do you go to get the inspirations? Or is this just a lifelong experiences as well? Or is just here? Because I know last year when we were at AFW, you know, with Pokemon Go coming out, you were like, I'm writing right now. So how did all this come about?
Okay, so I was born poor white trash. And I knew I was white trash from an early age. I mean, when you grow up in a trailer home, the hints are there. The clues are there. When your dad drinks Kesslers.
Well, I was in a single-wide home myself. So
now... not to interrupt you, but having the last name of Kessler, I take great offense to that bottom shelf $10 for a $7.50 bottle of whiskey.
It says it's smooth as silk, and it lies like hell.
It's that fake silk that you know you pay too much for. Yeah.
It's smooth as silk stockings that have been worn by a sumo wrestler for a week straight without being washed.
That sounds about right. That is a purely accurate description of that whiskey.
So you know, and I knew I was white trash. The first song I learned to play on guitar, without kidding, was Freebird. And
there you go.
You just don't realize, you know, as a kid that you're a geek. You don't kind of label these things. I liked science fiction. I liked fantasy. But what happened was my brother in 1983. Brought home Redbox Dungeons and Dragons, and that's when other people started calling me a geek, and so that's kind of when you realize it, when other people are calling you a geek or whatever. And it never bothered me. It still doesn't bother me. I like what I like, you know, and I've adopted that stance now. Love what you love. Never let anybody tell you you're not allowed to love what you love, and let other people love the things they love without putting them down for it. For example, I see on the wall right there, there's a big Batman.
Yeah. Yep, right behind Jacob.
Okay. I don't particularly care for Batman as a character. I just don't. But I don't put people down for liking Batman. You know what I mean? Whatever it is you like, it's cool. As long as you're not, you know, bashing people over the head with it and or hurting anybody, including yourself.
And that Batman is not a piece of cardboard. It's on literally a...
Yeah, that's a fat head.
Yeah. It's not going to be used to bash anybody over the head.
Basically a big sticker on the wall.
Yep.
You can see this is my office, I have
we
to admit.
We could try bashing someone over the head with a Superman back there, but not the Batman.
True, we have Superman on the other wall, Cap on the other wall. So I'm into a little bit of everything, but I pretty much found out real fast the difference between the cool crowd and the... not cool crowd, because I straddled that line all the way through middle school and high school. So it was one where I had friends on both sides, and sometimes I had to pick and choose. And
oh, yeah.
It wasn't that fun sometimes, because you had to leave one to do the other, and it was kind of touch and go for me sometimes. So. And then when I got into high school, I was just the outsider, so that didn't really matter at that point in my junior and senior year. They just said, well, we can't change them now. So
it's too late, yeah.
But with your day job, what is your range? Because I know you've been to different states. You've come here to Kansas. You're based out of, if I remember right, somewhere around Georgia?
Indiana. I'm in Indiana.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you were in Georgia. I apologize. So
that's all right.
You're in Indiana, but I've seen you saying you're all over the continental. Is that pretty much your daily life all year long?
It's changing. It's changing. So here's the deal. As a stand-up comic, I performed in 39 different states. I've headlined on all four coasts. I include the Gulf of Mexico and the Great Lakes. Okay. They're technically coastlines. You know, in the Bahamas, I've headlined in the Bahamas, and I've been to Canada. It's a great job, and I've performed in most of the states as a stand-up comic over the last decade, and as a full-time professional stand-up comic. It's a great job. I'm not going to bash the job, but around 2011, it was March of 2011, I wrote a song. 7 years ago, Christmas Day, I watched Firefly, the series, for the first time. And I mean, literally 7 years ago on Christmas Day at 7:02 p.m. At 7:02 p.m., I posted that I am now officially three episodes into Firefly. that's how I know. But... so I wrote this song in March called She Don't Like Firefly, and I did a video for it, and the video went viral. That's such a weird term. I didn't get millions and millions of views, but Time Magazine said I went viral, and Nerdist.com played it, and three of the cast members of Firefly retweeted the video. So cool. I guess that counts as viral, you know?
That's pretty cool, really.
But it was all this stuff that I just never considered putting in my regular act, because it's stuff that that most of America, it just wasn't mainstream. They just wouldn't get it, you know? If I sang a song about Firefly, most audiences are going to look at me in the muggle world or whatever. And they're going to go, what? And but I did that song, and it did so well that I did a Kickstarter because it convinced me there was an audience for it. I did a Kickstarter to record an album. I recorded the album. Next year, I did another Kickstarter to do another album. I had been doing conventions. Fear the Con was the first one. I was doing my regular stand-up act at it, but all of a sudden, I was just doing geek stuff at conventions. And so my life has been changing. I used to be on the road 40 to 45 weeks a year for stand-up comedy. And now I'm on the road. Last year, I think it was 20 to 25 weeks. I can't remember exactly. I mean, this year, it was 20 to 25 weeks for stand-up comedy. And the rest of the time, I've either been at home or I've been at conventions. And next year, it's going to be even more time at conventions or home and less time on the road for stand-up comedy. Because I have found my tribe. I found there are people out there who like what I do. And so I found a way to get, you know, my show to them. I do an online free show every month on concertwindow.com. And all you have to do is create an account that's free and you can watch for free. And if you want to tip me $10, you get to download the whole show. I usually go for about 2 hours. And, you know, for a different tip, I'll take a request or whatever. But normally it's just a free show where you get on, and if you can't see me in your neck of the woods, Then you get to see me once a month for free, and I get to stay in contact with my fans and my friends. And, of course, my next one's New Year's Eve, and it's not a free show. It's a $15 ticket, but it's going to be 3 hours, and it's going to be nuts. It's going to be insane.
And you said that was concertwindow.com?
Yeah.
And then they just do a search for your name, or does it automatically go to your...
It'll be Mikey Mason on concertwindow.com. Okay. So if you do go to concertwindow.com, search for Mikey Mason. I'm the only one there. Every month, I don't know how much money I'm making Concert Window, but they like me. They really, really like me.
All right, Sally.
My New Year's Eve show is going to be my 20th show for Concert Window and my second New Year's Eve show for Concert Window. And they like me. They really like me.
That's cool. So when you do whip out some of these songs at a regular roadshow, does that still surprise some people? Or are you finding that more and more of this is seeping into the popular culture that people just can't get away with it or can't get away from it?
So a lot of references are will get into pop culture or into mainstream culture. Right. And as we've seen, Big Bang Theory brought geek culture to the forefront for a lot of people, like it or hate it or be apathetic towards it. The reality is that that show brought geek credibility to a mainstream audience and made it lucrative for big corporations. And all of a sudden they said, we can make money at this. And then that pushes it out to the forefront, which is cool, I guess. It spreads the message, the stuff I like. It makes there's more of the stuff that I like out there because of it, whether I watch the show or not. But I still can't do songs like I've got a song for Scooby Thulu. I can't do Scooby Thulu in front of a Muggle crowd. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's such a fun one.
It is.
We had debates on that on the podcast. I even got some toys for Scooby this Christmas. Hey, that's how much of a nerd I am. There you go. I got that mystery machine, by golly. But like some of the regular ones, like the Star Wars themes, or maybe not Firefly per se, but, you know, the big popular cultures, do you kind of bring those out occasionally and they appreciate them?
Well, when I'm doing the mainstream shows, I generally don't. I've brought Too Fat to Troop out for the mainstream shows once or twice. People, you know, when there's a big Star Wars crowd, but almost invariably most of the audience just even though they love, you know, Star Wars is beloved, it doesn't make as big of a dent on an audience as, say, a song like I Hate Your Kids. And you put that in front of a mainstream audience and they're like, yeah, I hate your kids too, you know. And here's a true story. I was playing the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and it was a 400-seat venue, and it was almost sold out on a Sunday afternoon. One show on the Sunday. I was selling I Hate Your Kids bumper stickers.
stuff. Probably sold a bunch. No.
Well, I had about 180 of them left at the, you know, and then, you know, I did the show, and afterwards I sold out of bumper stickers. I mean, I sold completely out of bumper stickers, and I couldn't figure out why I had sold out of bumper stickers until somebody told me, oh, no, we're here for a teacher's convention.
The perfect timing. Nice.
And they loved them. They bought them. They're like, I'm going to put this under my computer keyboard. I'm going to put this on one of these kids' parents' cars. I'm going to, you know.
You can do a better timing than if you tried on that one.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
But when you're going to the conventions, what's some of the favorite things you've seen? Because some of these conventions, or maybe some of the more wow scenes that you've seen with some of the cosplay and stuff.
Well, I mean, cosplay is, I've seen a lot of awesome cosplay and a lot of scantily clad cosplay, which, by the way, is not consent.
Well, you said you went to Dragon Con, so.
Oh, yeah. Some of the coolest cosplay at Dragon Con are actually by alternatively abled people, people in wheelchairs.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I've seen some really cool cosplay by people in wheelchairs. Like last year there were a couple of Penelope Von Schweetz from Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
The little girl racer.
Yeah,
that they,
yeah,
I know. That made their whole chair look like a her race car. It was amazing. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, and I've seen some incredible power girls, you know, because they've got that boob window on her outfit, and you can't argue with that. You just let's face it, if a woman wears a power girl outfit with a boob window on it, she is giving you permission to stare at the cleavage. You can't go touch it.
Oh, man.
That but it's there to look at, period.
That is true. I won't admit I'm doing that or I might get in trouble. Especially if the wife's there.
You can't. Yeah, you can't not look. It's a magnet.
Well, with some of the things that we've done with the podcast, we've gone down to Oklahoma City and we actually met, his name's Nate Bright, and he actually works for a charity that actually works with kids that are in wheelchairs, and they do the, like you were saying, they kind of do designs for them, like they would have an X-Wing fighter around them or a TIE fighter. So that's kind of neat that you're seeing that in cosplay more and more. So that's mm-hmm. that's kind of cool. I'm taking up all the time. Any of you guys want to say anything before we, I'm going to pause for a moment and then let some of the other guys think of some questions because I've been kind of hoarding the time. But we're going to take a quick break and listen to one of Mikey's latest songs off his album Tentacle. It's called Awkwardly. Tentacle. We'll give you a sample of that and then we'll be right back. Mikey Mason. So again, this one here, Mike, it's one of those where it's geek love awkwardly. So with awkwardly, it was almost kind of a sweet song to a degree as well. It's kind of like, no, I can dig this one. So
it is.
So it's one of those, like I said, you're not completely a parodist. You do have some substance in these too. It's now, some of it is kind of fun. Like, we're not going to feature this, but like Better Than Darth Vader, that was just hilarious. Even when the guy is basically saying, you know, your dad could be Darth Vader. I'm not that bad. I can cut right. your arm off or whatever.
Yeah. That was when I started writing that song. It was originally titled "A Song for My Kids," and that's, I mean, because, you know, I just wanted them to know, however bad you think I am, I'm not that bad. And if you need a basis of comparison, I could always be Darth Vader.
Well, now, hold on, because as we all know, Empire Strikes Back is a story about a father who just wants to reunite with his son.
And cut his hand off.
Well, I mean, if my kid whacked me in the arm with a lightsaber, I'd be a little upset, too. So, I mean, I'm just saying. I take the side of the Empire, mostly because my little five-year-old nephew really likes Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think he's boring.
Yeah, yeah, a dad who wants to reconnect with his son, but also had a hand in killing the son's mother, and was such an asshat that everybody hid the kids from them throughout on opposite sides of the galaxy, and was such an asshat that he killed a room full of little kids.
Well, I mean, if your dad looked like and acted like Hayden Christensen, wouldn't you try to hide from him, too?
I'm just saying, well, if you're going to be nitpicky about it.
Father of the Year Award. Here we go.
While trying to cut off his arm, he wanted to rule the galaxy with him first.
Yeah, he did want to rule the galaxy at first.
That would be right. A much better present.
Much better present. Here's the galaxy. Let's do it, son.
Well, I'm just saying, look, if I tell them that I want them to do something with me, all right, and the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to count to three, and then they're going to get grounded, okay?
Yeah.
They're not going to lose a hand for saying no. Sure.
Don't bring out the pop bottle rockets. You can lose an eye, kids. Experience talking there. Didn't lose an eye, but I came mighty, mighty close. But, man, it was fun. I think we had fun when somebody went to the restroom and we lit one of those off to the restroom. They came out screaming.
Oh, I bet.
With some of these songs, are they, you've kind of mentioned your childhood before, are they some of those experiences, like I said, or they're just things that you're just dreaming up just on the spur of the moment and just having fun?
Well, all the daydreams that we have just sitting around, all the abstract thoughts that we have watching a TV show, or, you know, I had a song once called A Bus Stop Daydream, which I'm not going to go into right now, but was about as horribly inappropriate. All right, so we'll go into it.
Yeah.
Let's go into it. So this never made it to an album, although now it might. This was a song about, you know, if you've ever been on a bus or an elevator or in a meeting, and then you realize, what if the world ends right now, and all the only people left are the people in this room? How is the power structure going to play out, and who am I going to end up mating with? Because we're all always worried about that. And who is going to be my primary competition, and who am I going to have to team up with to kill them? And then, I mean, so that we end up with the mating pairs of our choice. And this is the kind of stuff that geeks think about. Everybody kind of thinks about this stuff, but, you know, well, stupid people don't. But
whole new meaning to the dating game. What are your likes? Whatever you like. That could be something really interesting sometimes.
But so all of the things that I ever thought of or daydreamed of as a kid, all of the shows that I liked, every bit of the nostalgia that played in for my youth, and everything that I like today, that's all fodder. For, you know, anything that I like, you know, Upside Down, I actually just released an album called Detour. It just came out the 19th of December, and it's an all serious song album, which is why I haven't really been, doing a heavy press for it.
Okay.
But it is called Detour. It's just all serious songs, and it's mostly acoustic, but there's a song called Upside Down, and it's based on Stranger Things, and Netflix's Stranger Things, right. And I love Stranger Things. I love it. And I wrote, you know, the song kind of mugged me in the shower, and it may be one of the best songs I've ever written in my life, so I had to get it out there, and I love the song, and people have me play it at the geek shows. It would never play at a Muggle show because it's too serious, and but geek shows, they dig it, and they don't care. Here's the thing about geek shows is they don't care if it's geeky. They just care if it's good. Yep. They don't care if it's funny. They just care if it's good. That's it.
Right. And that's one of the things I kind of commented on. Do you have, I know I only have two of your albums so far, but do you have an acoustical album for the songs that you have on your regular albums? Because when we saw you at AFW when you were doing acoustical and the comedy act, it was just a completely different feel.
It
was so alive, and people were interacting with you and having fun, you know. And I didn't know, and we kind of mentioned, do you have a live album? And I really haven't gone back to look, because I got on and got Tentacow and said, okay, I spent my money, I can't go no further at the moment. So I'm a librarian, so we don't make much money.
Yeah.
But do you have any of the acoustical albums, or are you thinking of possibly maybe doing something like that, more of a live show sometime and just recording some of those?
When I play a larger convention, one of the things I do, and larger is, you know, generally 1,200-1,300 or more. Mm-hmm. If I have a big show at the convention, I generally record that show and sell it on CD the next day.
Ah, okay. It's for convention goers.
Yeah, at the convention, I'll sell it at the convention. I have a multiple CD burner. You know, my MacBook has a better recording studio than Elvis got to record in his entire life on it. Which isn't to say that my stuff's better than Elvis. It's just that we live in an age of miracles. That's all. And I've recorded several live stuffs. Right now, my big thing is I carry around a flash drive to conventions, and it's called the Beer Powered Time Machine, and it's. It's got everything that I've released up to Tentacow, including my white trash comedy album, Comedy Rockstar, my day job album. So it's got all seven of those albums, and it's got 200 plus extra tracks, live versions,
instrumental
demo versions, alternate versions, and at 200 plus extra tracks, and the flash drive costs less than buying all six of the albums that are on it.
Right. that's true. That kind of a weird way the technology's taking us.
Mm-hmm.
With the songs that are out there, we kind of touched on this with the serious side of the songs. I mean, I enjoy those just as much as the fun songs. And sometimes, like you said, with Legends, it means a little bit different for you now because your son and everything. Do you get people at the conventions, you know, coming up to you afterwards and saying, this is a nice song, we appreciate it, thank you?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, so here's a cool story. At Dragon Con this year, I did a show for the very first time in my geek career of all serious songs, and I called it But Seriously. And it was just me and an hour and songs that I wrote that were mostly geeky, but all serious songs. And it turns out that when I'm not singing dick jokes, when I'm just singing serious songs, that I feel things. I feel feelings and stuff. And I almost cried three times during that show because the emotions are so raw. You know, one of the songs is called Eulogy, and that's a song on Red Letters, and it's about my mom. Well, it was about a friend in college, but when I recorded it, it was for my mom who had just died. Okay. But I tried. I did the whole set. I played all the songs. I nearly cried three times, but I didn't. But several people in the audience cried multiple times, so I'm pretty sure that means I win.
There you go. True. That's good. And I don't know if you want to feel too much when you're singing about the dick jokes, though, because you don't know what you might be feeling. So. Sorry, Jacob, I went there. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We can't get too serious on this show. We don't want any crying here. Okay.
No.
But I do appreciate the serious songs, too, though, to go back to that. It's really nice to hear those. And you do have a great voice. And when the songs come on, I mean, and you kind of tailor your voice to the style that you're singing. Like, if you can definitely tell that you're a child of the 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah.
That's your wheelhouse and some of the others. I mean, you can definitely tell you grew up with those and have fun with them. And,
yeah.
And then I think one of the songs we enjoyed on this album, and my wife was like, why didn't he put that all together? And I assure you know what I'm going to be talking about here.
Oh,
the Springsteen. It was the If Springsteen Wrote My Life. She was pulling her hair out with you on that one because we loved it, but it was like, no, it stopped. Oh, it's back. No, he stopped again.
When I perform it live, I put all of the verses together that I'm going to do live all at once there. But that started out. So that was this is why you should be my friend on Facebook. I have a couple of songs that came about totally because somebody posted something on Facebook. And that's one of them. I have a friend named John King, and he had posted about being at Five Guys Burgers and Fries waiting to pick up dinner. But he wrote it, and it's almost the words to the first one, almost exactly, to If Springsteen Wrote My Life. Part one, and his, you know, if Bruce Springsteen wrote this, it'd sell a million. I just want my burger. And so I wrote it in the form of a song, his words, but I rearranged them and touched them up a little bit.
Right.
And I recorded that just for fun, and I put it out on SoundCloud just because, you know, and it was fun to do. And then when Tentacal came around, I was like, you know what? So much of my life could be narrated by Bruce Springsteen.
And, like seven of them, right?
Yeah, there's seven verses. But yeah, this is one that she's not a big Springsteen fan to begin with. But this is, of course, one that the tune is pretty much everybody's familiar with it. When it starts up, it's like, oh, I recognize that. And she even recognized it. But it was just one of those head scratchers. She was like, why didn't he put it all together? He's not nice.
And that's another one of those style parodies where it kind of sounds like Born to Run, but it's not.
Yep.
It's not the same chords at all. But it was written to sound like Springsteen. And there's so much Springsteen that sounds just like Bruce Springsteen. And the other thing is that there are so many songs out there that are Bruce Springsteen songs that he didn't do. And he didn't write them, but like Lita Ford's Kiss Me Deadly, that's right. A Bruce Springsteen song.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize that.
No, but think about it. I went to a party on a Saturday night. I didn't get laid. I got in a fight. Oh, it ain't no big thing. It's a Bruce Springsteen song.
True. If it's...
No, I do this thing called I start singing Let It Go. There's one of the things I do is start singing Let It Go, and then I stop singing Let It Go because in the middle of it I stop because I don't know the rest of the words, because I only know one verse, and then and it kind of happened by accident. I was just doing it for a lark at a show, and I said, but you know. Who could do Let It Go without knowing the words? Bruce Springsteen, because he forgets the words to his songs all the time. And all he's got to do is mumble something, and people think it's an artistic choice.
True. And there's a few artists like that that's been around.
So. Oh, yeah. So then I started singing Let It Go again. I started on the second verse, only I mumble half of it because I don't know the words, and I do it like Bruce Springsteen, and people start laughing, and then I go into other songs like Call Me Maybe, Bruce Springsteen song. Kiss Me Deadly, Bruce Springsteen. Then I do What Does the Fox Say, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Pop, 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 pow, or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Kill that damn fox. And you don't have to worry about it. To kind of jump back to, like I said, I don't have all the albums, but we did have Jetpack. The one that I had to play for my daughter because she just got into it with her friends, and we mentioned it on the podcast that we talked about, was Best Game Ever.
Yeah.
I think we kind of mentioned, I wasn't sure if you said that this was an actual event that happened while you were growing up, or it was just something that inspired that you kind of thought about, but was that an actual event for you guys when you were growing up that happened, or how did that come about?
We had a gaming group, and we did have a guy named George in my gaming group, and our George was George, but the stories aren't about any one session, and they're not all about the real George. They're about the stupid things that we all have done over time. That, and these are memories that are so universal for gamers. You've got that one guy who's got to be the gnome thief mage assassin, the multi-class, you know, special demi-human character with a special snowflake character, or the half-elf, half-orc monk illusionist, or, you know, a barbarian who carries a magic weapon, because, you know, magic swords, because he wants the bonuses, but the only he plays in character and he hates the magic users, except that he wants the magic swords, or the druid who refuses to leave the forest. And we all wanted to kill those characters, and some of our gaming groups did. But the reality is, if you play role-playing games and you're in a role-playing game group and you don't know who the George is in the group, it's you.
Oh, that's sad. I don't play, so I don't have to worry about it. But now my daughter, she's the one that says, I like want to be the master.
Yeah.
She wants to be the DM, so she has more fun with that. So
That's normally who I am anymore anyway, as well. Cool story about Best Game Ever. On the fourth anniversary of Gary Gygax's death, he and Dave Arneson invented Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. But on the fourth anniversary of his death, I got an email from his daughter, Mary, who wanted to let me know that somebody posted it on her Facebook wall and that her dad would have loved the song. She wanted me to know that it made her think of it and that it made her cry. And then her mom wrote me and said it made me cry too. And I said, this is amazing. This is like getting knighted by geek royalty.
Really?
And I asked them, can I post your emails on my website? It means that much to me. Can I post them? And they said yes. So if you go to MikeyMason.com and look at and click on the Gygax family testimonial thing, you can read the letters, the emails that Mary and Cindy Gygax wrote to me about the song Best Game Ever. And it really is like getting knighted by geek royalty, because from the time I was 10 years old until today, there's not a day that goes by where Gary Gygax's name isn't read or mentioned in one way or another in this house, period. So
now, I think you're just a smidgen younger than I am. I think you were maybe 10 years younger than I. I'm not going to say ages, so I don't know if you want your age out there. But
you're that old that 10 say, years is a smidgen?
I wouldn't call 10 years a smidge.
Oh, come on now.
You're dating, 10 years can be a felony. I mean.
Oh, I've known some guys like that. Sorry, guys.
I'm just saying, you know, later in life, 10 years is nothing. But when you're 17, you don't want to date somebody 10 years younger than you. That's just not the way it works.
Not really.
But no, I'm 44. I'm 44. I don't mind people knowing how old I am. I used to because in stand-up comedy, it's a young person's game. And and everybody will find the exceptions out there and they'll say, but the reality is it is a young person's game. It truly is. And they don't want to put you on. If you look over 40, they don't want to put you on stage. Mm-hmm. Some won't book you if you look over 30, and I'm being serious, won't book you if you look over 30. And it's been maybe 2 years since I've dyed my beard, maybe a year since I've dyed my beard. So I got mistaken for Santa Claus at the bank the other day.
oh, God. Wow. You must have had a stressful life, because I have a few grays, but not that many.
my beard is straight from Hoth, dude.
Well, I'm hitting the – well, I'm about 40 – well, I'm 47, getting ready to hit 48 pretty soon. But I'm still having fun, because when I can look at Steve Sansweet – and say, hey, there's a 70-year-old guy that still plays with toys. I'm still doing good. I love my toys, too. And if he's not dyeing his hair, I don't know what he's doing. But, yeah, that's one thing that I've kind of noticed. Excuse me. I've kind of noticed with the conventions and everything. When I started taking my kids to them when they were in middle school and a little bit younger, I would see some guys dressing up, and I was kind of like, wow, that's kind of different. They're a little bit elderly, but they're having fun. That's cool. Now when I'm at that stage, I'm kind of like, well, damn it, I'm just going to have fun too.
Right.
And I think that's just the main thing with life. You just have fun and enjoy it yourself and don't care what anybody else says. So, of course, my wife sometimes will say something different, but for the most part, she's been very nice and lovable enough to go along with my quirks. So so she bought me toys this Christmas too. And I bought her a Nerf gun.
That's the best you can hope for sometimes. You know, marriage isn't about being able to wake up next to somebody every day for the rest of your life and say, I still love you. It's about being able to wake up next to somebody every day for the rest of your life and saying, I don't hate you yet. You know, yet is the important part. It's yet. That's
I'm not going to comment on that because she's the one that does the sound edits for this. I do the main editing, but she still hears everything. but yeah, she's very, very lovable and goes along with me. And hopefully she'll keep going on this journey, because I don't know what we're going to do this next year at conventions or not. We kind of blew our reserves this last year going to a couple of different places. We're probably going to have to take a year off to put some money back into the accounts and then go out next year. But we try to go and talk to people, but we don't take a microphone and cram it in people's faces, because I always thought that was kind of not the coolest thing to do. You guys are there to try to talk with people, try to talk to your fans, and, you know, taking time out on the floor to do an interview. That, to me, just kind of rude. But a lot of them do that way, and they have fun, so more power to them, but that's just not my style.
Yeah.
But I'll visit with you and hand you a card and say, hey, what do you think? So and do it quick like that, like we do with you, but that's one of the things that seems like the cons are becoming more and more of a family experience. Have you been noticing that?
Oh, it truly is. There's a convention I go to every January called MarsCon, and they have a kids track. They have a kids music track. They have kids activities, you know, and then they have stuff for parents. And they say, look, you can't let your – you got to make sure your kids are in – they can't be out in the halls after this point in time, because now the burlesque is going on.
Like I said, I know you've been to Dragon Con.
Yeah, but they have kids food activities in the con suite, like – cookie decoration or something. I mean, really just kids crafts. It's all very cool if you're the kind of person who brings your kids to cons and conventions. I don't want to say, look, if you run a convention, you know what you want out of a convention, and that's fine. But a convention that doesn't look forward, that doesn't look into the future, is a convention that is maybe not going to run forever.
Right,
you know, a shorter term convention in the long haul, but you start having kids tracks, because now you get the kids hooked to come into the con, and then they come, you know, and then you get their, you know, Vision Con in Branson, Missouri, was started in Springfield. They've got kids who go who are bringing their kids now, but the kids who are going and bringing their kids were actually conceived at the convention.
Married and straight to the wedding suite.
I don't want to say married. I don't want to get my facts all muddled. I'm just saying they got kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was trying to be nice. But yes, there are those other instances. What room is this? Yeah, okay. I'm sure that doesn't happen at all.
No, never. But that's the thing, is that that there's something for everybody at most conventions. You're there in I saw you at Wichita. Right. You're right there out of Central Kansas. Are you out of Wichita?
No, we're actually in Southwest Kansas. We have a population of our big town of, if we're lucky, 2,400.
Oh, well, I live in a town of 1,500, depending on who's in jail.
So
that's not a joke, because the jail's not in town. The jail's in the county seat. So if the population goes down when somebody's in jail, if you live in a town and an out-of-towner gets arrested, generally your population goes up temporarily. Not ours. Ours can only go down.
Okay. Well, we're the county seat, so ours goes up. But no, I started this, I don't know how many years ago now, just mainly for libraries, and try to let them know what's out there. Because libraries, they collect music, they collect books, movies, games now, they do everything. And then as we went along, we got a general audience as well. So we've just been having fun, because everybody has a library, whether it's at your house or it's a public library. So we've been having fun with it that way, and everybody's been real supportive of us over the years, so we've been really appreciative of that. And gentlemen and ladies like you being willing to come on and visit with us, that's, you know, we appreciate that so much, because we know it's taking time out of your evening or day. So, and that's, your day's about to end, like you said, with your son. So,
yep.
So I think we're probably going to have to wrap it up so you can do your chores and not get in trouble, because I'm sure
Be dad.
Yeah, he'll come in and tell you about it, I'm sure. So, dad, come on.
he won't say anything. He'll stay up as late as I'm on the, you know, as long as I'm recording. But I am married, and my wife, she will let me hear about it later, because he should be in bed.
True. Before we go, I just want to make some quick mentions and kind of callbacks. You mentioned the concertwindow.com. Is there a specific day of the month you're on, or do you send out emails for that you would like to mention to everybody again?
I generally do that by Facebook. Okay. So if you look up Comedy Rock Star Mikey Mason on Facebook, if you like that page, Comedy Rock Star Mikey Mason on Facebook, I put out notifications on there. I send them to my Twitter, which is Comedy Rock Geek, because I like to be completely inconsistent, because I want my people to work for me. They gotta if you want to find me, you're gonna work.
There you go.
But between the two, they end up there. Or the best thing, the coolest thing about Concert Window is that you can follow me on Concert Window, and it will send you an email when I schedule a new show, and it will send you an email when the show's coming up. So
okay.
I like stuff that does all my work for me.
There you go. Best part of the world in technology.
It is. We don't remember phone numbers anymore.
True.
I remember phone numbers I had as a kid. I remember so many phone numbers from when I was a kid that if I'd have gone to medical school, I could have cured cancer by now. But no, I remember Dial-A Story from the Franklin Johnson County Public Library's number. I mean,
do you remember Jesse's number?
Oh, 867-5309.
There you go. No. Yeah, I believe that's it. And then, of course, if you want to pick up his albums, you can get these off his website, MikeyMason.com. And you have 7 albums now, if I'm correct?
Or eight now. There are 8 now with Detour. And then I have 2 podcasts. I'm on All in the Reflexes, which is geek news and pop culture news. And then I'm also on the Beer Powered Time Machine podcast, where we drink good beer and tell true stories and are generally hilarious for free for an hour every week.
There we go. Okay. I'll have to put those in our show notes as well. What was the first one again?
All in the Reflexes at AITRpodcast.com. Okay. And or Beer Powered Time Machine at BeerPoweredTimeMachine.com.
All right. We'll have to check those out, because that's one of the things I do when I'm doing paperwork here is listen to podcasts. So that's cool. Add those to my subscriptions. But we appreciate you taking the time out, Mikey. It's been a busy time of the year, and we appreciate you taking the time out and doing this for us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll keep putting out the music if you keep listening. I'll make that deal.
Oh, that'll work. Well, that's going to do it for us this evening. We've been having fun with Mikey Mason. His latest album that we've been listening to here lately was Tentacow. We've been having fun with Mikey. Hope you, everybody out there, has been having fun listening to us. And we'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
We're not allowed to cross or to impede until a single volunteer with a radio in ear tells us all to form a human centipede. Then we're waiting to wait in line, waiting to wait in line, waiting to wait in line, waiting to wait in line. Keep your badges out and facing forward. Don't stop, just keep moving toward the line. Waiting to wait in line. A new line will be starting shortly, says a man who's curt and portly, with the voice of hand-me-down implied authority. There's tons of us and one of him, and our ranks just keep closing in. I'd show him that he's not the boss of me. Except I'm waiting to wait in.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.